Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
NBA fans, don't miss your chance to win $25,000 tonight on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code, download the Super 6 app, and pick the outcomes of six games for your chance at the jackpot. It's free to play.
Chris Broussard, co-host First Things First, now joining us live as we get ready to embark on the NBA playoffs. So what do you make? So you just heard my takeaway on Steph Curry saying, yeah, I'm good here, LeBron. I'm not throwing you a life preserver for your current state, which is like in flux with the Lakers. What's your takeaway on Steph Curry saying, yeah, I'm good here, LeBron?
I thought, Colin, it was a lot like Winning Time, which I'm enjoying to the maximum, but kind of based on true events, but a lot of drama, a lot of fiction to make it more dramatic and interesting. That's what I thought of it. But here's how I look at it, Colin. I think LeBron was just answering a question, a hypothetical question, and saying, you know, he'd love to play with Steph. Because they would, I mean, with his passing ability, his court vision, and Steph's shooting ability, obviously, it'd be crazy. I don't think Steph was disrespecting LeBron. And here's why. Because we know that Steph doesn't mind playing with other superstars, even ones who are bigger than him. All right, he welcomed Kevin Durant to his own team. And he flew to New York to try to convince Durant to stay in Golden State and not go to Brooklyn. Obviously, it didn't work. I think Steph looked at it like this, Colin. I'm in a great situation. You mentioned all the teammates he has. And I'm about to start a playoff run that we think if we're healthy, we can go all the way. So why in the world, the last thing I need is a storyline of LeBron and Steph looking to link up. Because it doesn't look good to the Warriors organization if they're thinking, is Steph kind of looking like he might want to move somewhere else? Or your teammates in the locker room are thinking, if he's really trying to play with LeBron, that means some of us have to go. So I just think Steph is being smart and saying, I don't need that type of drama. I don't need that type of storyline. We got something good going here. So he answered the way he did. That's all I think there is to it. Call me naive if you like, Colin, but that's how I see it.
I will say this. Magic Johnson came down and kind of publicly hammered LeBron. They don't make the playoffs. It's starting to feel a little like Michael Jordan, end of his career, scoring a lot of points in meaningless games. I don't see a way out for LeBron. I think the hardware and the titles are done. You tell me, what can they do? How do they get this mess turned around?
Yeah, I don't think LeBron will win any more championships. But there, I see a path where the Lakers could be a contender. And then once you're a contender, who knows? You see what can happen. I don't trade Anthony Davis. All right? I saw your clip with Rick Bucher, and obviously people have heard that. AD doesn't work hard. You don't even have to hear it. You can just look at the results, right? He's always injured. They've got to somehow get through to him that you need to work harder. You need to change some things so you can stay healthy. You're up here at the end of the season talking about we can't be healthy, and you're the biggest factor. All right, you got a 37-year-old LeBron James with all that mileage on his body, more durable than you. It's embarrassing for AD. Get through to him somehow, and then you've got him and LeBron to build around. Trade Westbrook, Colin. I don't care if it's for pennies on the dollar. You can move him. There are teams that are bad that will trade for that contract. Now, they might want one of your first-round draft picks to get it. You might have to, you know, take back some, you know, players that aren't that great to get rid of Westbrook. But if it's pennies on the dollar, so be it. You get AD and LeBron, and you try to put athletic shooters around them if you can, and then you go from there. That's what I think the Lakers need to do. I think Magic, Colin, He obviously, you know, DeMar DeRozan, we all see now what he did in Chicago and say, wow, that would have been great. And, yeah, it would have been better than Westbrook. But DeMar, no, most people didn't think that was a great fit either. He's not a three-point shooter. He doesn't spread the floor. He's a mid-range guy. So it would have worked better than this, but I don't know how great that would have been. And I think LeBron said, okay, neither one of them spreads the floor. Neither one of them is a shooter. But at least if I'm out, Westbrook is somewhat of a playmaker. And he can create for other people, and they can still win games without me. He was wrong. But I think that was LeBron's thinking.
You know, it is interesting. We were talking about this as a staff this morning. You know, LeBron loves Curry, but Curry now breaks down. LeBron wanted AD, but he had a history of breaking down. LeBron liked the old D Wade. He was breaking down. LeBron likes old players. Kyrie, by the way, his history is injuries. Yep. The truth is, LeBron, because he misses 20 games a year, now has to start embracing and pivoting to playing with younger guys who don't get hurt as much. And I'm not sure LeBron, that's in his DNA. I mean, you can see he loves the old NBA. He's got great, he romanticizes a lot of older NBA. He don't want anything to do with young guys, and I think he has to change. You know, I do you think you could go to LeBron
That's
if you were
a great point.
Yeah, I mean, do you think you can go to LeBron and say, LeBron, we're going to make a you, AD, and a bunch of kids. How do you think he'd take that?
Well, first of all, the reason he likes playing with veterans, Colin, is because they're smarter. You know, generally, as far as basketball, IQ, experience. And he wants guys that know how to play. All right, so, but to answer your question, as long as AD is there and a couple more veterans, I think he'd be fine with it because LeBron knows, whether he'll admit it or not, they couldn't guard anyone because they were too old.
Yep.
And age is even more negative today than it used to be because the floor is so spread out.
Yes.
And so you have a lot more area to guard, right? So now when you're older, you can't move your feet like you used to. You can't stay in front of guys. And that's a big problem for the Lakers. So if you have young guys, he likes Caruso. He likes Austin Reeves. He likes Malik Monk. Young guys that are athletic enough to stay in front of their defenders and shoot, I think LeBron would be fine with that. Again, I don't think they're winning another championship. I think LeBron will be at 4 titles for his career. But these are the best ways for them to build a team that, in theory, can at least compete for a title.
You know, it's funny. KD took a bullet the other day. He said, you know, my injury derailed us. And I thought, James Harden quit on you. Ben Simmons isn't available. Kyrie didn't get vaxxed. And yet, KD took the bullet for the team publicly. It's on me. I don't think it's on him. I think it's on everybody except KD, in my opinion. Do you think privately KD is a little frustrated? Because now it looks like, dude, if you'd have stayed at Golden State on that roster right now, you could win a championship. Do you think he ever has a moment where he regrets going to Brooklyn?
He should. I don't know if he does because he obviously was ready to move on. Look, he wanted to get that monkey off his back. Get those rings. Nobody can say anything about me anymore. I've got 2. Now I can just go do what I want to do, which is play ball with my buddies. All right, Kyrie. That's what he was thinking, I believe. And so you're right. He took the bullet because the bottom line is what derailed their season was Kyrie Irving not getting vaccinated. That's it. Yeah. There were other factors. Yeah, KD getting hurt doesn't help. It was Kyrie not getting vaccinated because, Colin, if he gets vaccinated, James Harden is likely still there. And they've got the best big three in the league. Harden doesn't quit on them. And they've got a legitimate chance to win a championship, even with KD missing those 21 straight games or whatever it was. But Kevin Durant made a huge mistake when he left Golden State. He would probably have at least 3 rings right now, right? I think they could have won it, you know, with him one of these years that he's been healthy. And they'd have a chance to win. This year, they'd probably be the favorite. So he really did make a major mistake by leaving Golden State. He left rings on the table. And look, I tell these guys, I say it about Kyrie. When you retire, you're young. You can do all the other things you want to do outside of basketball. You got the rest of your life. You're like 38 years old when you retire, if that. So when you're playing these 15 years that you have in your prime, make the most of it. And Kevin Durant didn't. By leaving Golden State. And so we all want to see, can he win a ring with his own team? Can he lead his own team? And so far, look, this is his third season in Brooklyn. I know there have been injuries, but he's going to be 34 at the start of next year in his 15th year. There's no, he doesn't have time to waste. All right, there's no, tomorrow is getting shorter and shorter for him. And so, yeah, I think he made a mistake, whether he acknowledges it or understands it or not.
First things first, Chris Broussard, he's crushing it. Odd Couple, Rob Parker, Fox Sports Radio as well. Good seeing you, bud.
You too, Colin.
Chris Broussard, doing great work.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, the Miami Dolphins are once again center of the news cycle in the NFL with the Brian Flores lawsuits developing. But Mike McDaniel is about to start his first season as the head coach in Miami, and cornerback Xavien Howard says he loves what he is instilling.
When I got in the building today, I feel like everything been different since I got here. You know, the energy, everybody happy, and I feel like a lot of things gonna be special here. You know, with Mike McDaniel, you know, he bringing that energy. Like I said, the energy was there. You know, I was excited to meet him. He was excited to meet me, and if everybody buy in, you know, we get the job done.
McDaniel did re-sign Howard as well as Emmanuel Ogba, the defensive end, and Ogba said he was glad they took care of their own with that pair of deals. They've also brought in Tyreek Hill. They signed Teron Armstead, Alec Ingold, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, brought in Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, Cedric Wilson Jr., Connor Williams on the offensive line. So they have made a lot of aggressive moves on top of bringing in Mike McDaniel as a offensive coach.
They have some really good high-end players. I mean, they got Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Mike Gesicki, Xavien Howard. They've got high-end talent. The question will become, because they'll be better offensively because they're bringing the Niners offense and an offensive guy. You know, the question's going to become for this team is Tua's going to be better.
Right.
I don't think there's any question this year Miami will be more dynamic offensively. The question's going to become is that they think they solved a problem with Tyreek Hill. They may have created a second one because now Tua's numbers are going to start looking much better, and you're going to be asking yourself at the end of the year, oh, we found our franchise guy, and half the room's going to be like, yeah, and half the room's going to be like, nah.
Well, I think that depends on some other factors as well. Tua being better than he was, how much better? Is he going to look like a franchise quarterback? Are we going to step back and be like, wow, all he really needed was an offensive line and a high-powered weapon and an offensive coach? If it looks like that, great. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted when you drafted Tua where you drafted him. But if there still remains a question, you have to aggressively move on from Tua, regardless of what, you know, Tuanon or, you know, the Tua Hive or even people internally feel. The Los Angeles Rams moved off of a quarterback that took them to a Super Bowl. He was the quarterback of the team in a Super Bowl when they moved on from him. So you can't just tell me just because somebody improves that they're a franchise guy. He better improve. Look at what all they brought in. The excuses are off the table now. Now, I don't think that the Dolphins have done Tua any favors whatsoever in his development, and I don't think that they ever leaned into him being the franchise quarterback. I think it's on them mostly where Tua is in his development. But the first pick in the draft is a late third round. They have a fourth and 2 7th round picks. We'll see what they do through the season. But I think the biggest thing that he has to overcome is the internal situation in Miami. Like, it's not as simple as him going in as a new coach. There's a lot going on, and that can be a story throughout the season, which in Miami it generally is. So the Forbes list of the top 10 richest sports owners was released. Interestingly enough, only one NFL owner made the list this year, Panthers owner David Tepper. Now, we know he's a big money guy and obviously a very aggressive owner. He's worth $16.7 billion as the Panthers owner. Isn't it insane how we used to talk about millions of dollars as if like that was...
Steve Ballmer's worth almost $100 billion.
Isn't that insane? Billion. B.
Yeah, it is. It is insane.
The amount of money that exists out there.
I have no financial envy for individuals. I think we should tax corporations more. Doesn't bother me. I mean,
oh,
Dan
doesn't
Gilbert.
Bother me. I just think it's staggering how we've moved on from like hundreds of millions of dollars being a staggering amount of money to That's just $100 billion.
Listen, Larry Miller owned the Jazz. Marge Schott owned the Reds. They were local car dealers. The idea of a car dealer in Los Angeles saying, "Yeah, I'm going to buy the Rams." Car dealers, and not like Marge Schott owned car dealerships in Cincinnati, Ohio. That couldn't get you an MLS team today. It's, forget NFL.
Just the amount of money is just staggering to me how we talk about it. $100 billion. It's like a joke in Austin Powers, but that's really what people are worth now. So speaking of Winning Time, the HBO series is about the Showtime Lakers, who were not bought for billions of dollars. And it's very entertaining. The show is just great.
Yeah.
And we've heard some murmurs that the Lakers aren't particularly happy with the show. And someone who is not a big fan is Magic Johnson. He recently spoke with Variety about how he doesn't like that no one involved with the show sought participation from him or his former teammates. He said, first of all, you can't do a story about the Lakers without the Lakers, the real Lakers. You got to have the guys. There's no way to duplicate Showtime. I don't care who you get. We changed basketball, fast-breaking entertainment every time out. Paula Abdul and the beautiful Laker girls came out on the floor, and they turned it out. You can't duplicate that. Now, I'm a little confused as to what he means. Like, was he not consulted on the show? Or does he mean, like, actual Lakers need to be on the show? He can't possibly mean that. It is a
listen. The casting
series.
Director deserves an A+ because
I think it's excellent.
Oh yeah, I mean the acting is unbelievable. The guy playing Magic's fantastic. Kareem, I mean, everybody's nails
and Jerry.
It. You know, Jerry West looked really bad in the first episode and a half, but Kareem looked so prickly that point forward.
Well, I think maybe someone will do a show about me one day. I doubt it, right?
Yeah.
But like. You have flaws as humans. You have ups and downs. You have a complex existence. So the show is not meant to show everything in a perfect light. The show is meant to be compelling and tell a fictional version of what happened with the Showtime Lakers. And it's entertaining because these are complex characters and people. And we know Jerry West is cranky. Maybe he wasn't that cranky.
Well,
we know that's like, these are characteristics of these people.
Yeah, it was all based on a book by Jeff Perlman, which, by the way, dogged reporter. So this stuff
is extensive research on this era.
Yeah. I will tell you this, in terms of a sports series, between the MJ documentary and this.
But this is not a documentary.
No.
And that's why I think the Lakers and Magic might be a little irritated about it, because, you know, people are dumb and they don't understand, some of them, that this is a fictional adaptation of what happened. Like, this is not a documentary. This is not exactly how it happened.
No, they
exaggerations of these people and their existence.
Yeah, they amplify characters. But I will say, it shows the turmoil and conflict of building a dynasty.
Yeah.
And we saw from Michael Jordan that it does exist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are obviously true stories. Yeah. And it's like, we know most of these stories.
Jerry Buss was a Maverick.
Like what happened with Tarkanian.
Yes.
Like, all these things
are true.
Not all of them, but like a lot of them are true stories with the exaggerated adaptation. But I actually think it's a really good thing for the Lakers.
Yeah.
One, these type of series and these type of adaptations teach younger
generations
about the history of the team, even if it's not an exact story.
Or all positive. It's still interesting. Michael Jordan's documentary made me love the NBA more, even though it was very critical of a lot of people in the NBA.
Yeah, it was. It's not all going to be positive. None of us are perfect.
Listen, the minute that thing Sunday came out in HBO, I ran to the television. Yeah. It was fantastic.
It's great.
It really is. It's fantastic. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faherty's got good news. Best-selling Legend sweater shirt back in stock. All new colors. Great-looking clothes. FahertyBrand.com. Code HERD 20, 20% off. We, you know, it looks like, unless somebody drafts a quarterback in the top 10, we kind of know who's going to be quarterbacking teams. Sam Darnold is going to be quarterbacking in Carolina, we imagine, unless they go out and get a Malik Willis or a Kenny Pickett. But by and large, quarterbacks and coaches, we know who they are. And we thought this morning, who are the 10 best combos, right? Now, we have a clear cultural change in the NFL that is indisputable. If you take out the AFC East, which is all defensive coaches, seven of the eight remaining conferences were won by offensive coaches. And if Carson Wentz doesn't go down the toilet, it would have been 8 of 8, potentially, with the Colts. So let's look at the top 10 coaches and quarterbacks. 10, the suspension is a big question mark in Cleveland. I'd put Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski, 10. But I don't know this year how much Deshaun Watson plays. Stefanski with a broken down Baker Mayfield is 19-14. That's with bad ownership and a quarterback that was hurt. Coach of the year 2 years ago. Stefanski's on the right side of the ball. They're 10. I would do Derek Carr, Josh McDaniels, 9. Now you're saying Josh McDaniels failed. He's on the right side of the ball. Okay. I don't know how it'll be. This is a loaded offense. Quarterback, left tackle, running back, slot, tight end, wide receiver. I don't know how long he's going to last, but he's clever, he's learned, he's smart, and his issue was he went all in on Tebow, which submarined his first shot. I go Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, 8. I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett can coach, but he's on the right side of the ball, like a Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. If you're going to make a mistake, go with an offensive coach. Russell's the only quarterback 4 straight years, passer rating over 100. Number 7, Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury. 3 straight years, more wins, and better stats. So these guys have clearly come around. Kingsbury just got an extension. I imagine in the next year or less, Kyler's going to get a new contract. But we can't deny this. They've struggled after week 7 the last couple years, 9-20. But they got into the playoffs. They got to be in our top 10. Number 6, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. Now, many will say this is low, but is Matt LaFleur better than McCarthy, or is he just winning more against the lousy NFC North? He's not doing any better in the playoffs. You can argue he's doing worse. So they're good, they're fine, but I think this year it's going to be a much tougher haul, because they, at this moment, don't have a number 1 or number 2 receiver. I'd argue I'm not sure they have a number 3. Number 5, Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. I like Burrow better than Aaron as a quarterback because I think he throws the ball down the field. He's not paralyzed by interceptions. I think he's much more likable. I think he's a better leader. And Zach Taylor, do we know that he's worse than Matt LaFleur? I don't. I don't think you get to the Super Bowl with that offensive line if you're not a really good coach. Zach Taylor won playoff games on the road. Matt LaFleur struggling to win them with Aaron Rodgers at home. Number 4, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh. Folks, they've won 75% of the games they've been together. Fact. They've won playoff games together. Fact. I know you got questions about Lamar. They fell apart last year. You find me the coach since Lamar entered the league, second highest winning percentage, behind only Mahomes. They win a lot. They're both elite. I put them 4. 3, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. I thought they were the best team in the league. Before he got there, he got them to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor. So Sean McDermott took over a mess in Buffalo, 4 or 5 years in the playoffs. Josh Allen, since he entered the league, 31 rushing touchdowns. Nobody else is close. Number 2, McVay and Matt Stafford. Stafford led the NFL in second half quarterback rating, fourth quarter quarterback rating. They have been an absolute home run. Both great emotional intelligence. Stafford's always had a world-class arm. Nobody's ever disputed that. Matt's always been best high school player in the country, best college quarterback coming out, got to the playoffs in that mess in Detroit first 4 years. His issue was, culturally, he couldn't save what was the Titanic in Detroit. These two together are magic. And number one, Mahomes, Andy Reid. Listen, they're 20-3 against the AFC West since they conjoined, and the Chiefs have the best record in the NFL in the Mahomes, Andy Reid era, 50-15. You can't deny it. He's had some mini slumps. He did last year, but as long as they're together with a good GM to get them weapons, they're number one. Now, I know what you're saying. Where's Brady and Todd Bowles? I think the Buccaneers erred on the side of defense. I would have hired Byron Leftwich, not Todd Bowles. I saw him the first time. It didn't work. Nice guy. Feels like more of a coordinator to me than head coach. And I felt that years ago when it wasn't as offensively driven as a league. So, and this is going to be, as Joy said earlier, this is Brady's last year. He's still really good, but it's Brady's last year. So, and I know you're saying Carr and McDaniels. Folks, you got to have an offensive coach. Belichick now is struggling. Pete Carroll's man overboard. You got to have offensive coaches. Derek Carr saved the franchise. Total turmoil with Gruden. Mayock. Henry Ruggs. Carr got him into the playoffs in a division with Kansas City and really talented Los Angeles. So Derek Carr has been, there's an argument. I would make the argument Derek Carr is the most underrated quarterback in a decade in the league. All the other ones, I mean, what Derek Carr did this past year in Las Vegas is insane. They just moved to Vegas. They have the poorest owner, the Ruggs nightmare, the Gruden mess. Mayock got fired. They've whiffed on a million draft picks. He got him into the playoffs. I don't know. And not only got him to the playoffs, he was beating both the Colts, good team, and the Chargers, good team, late in games with big throws. So that's why they make it. All right, good stuff. Good stuff. Wife's out of town. Go watch some golf. How's Tiger doing? Is he okay? 100. All right. Now, yeah. We're fine. Going to get soupy this weekend, they say. Supposed to get really sloppy. And
oh, I thought you meant you.
No. Well, maybe. And whatever's, you know, it's going to be a DoorDash weekend. It's going to be a DoorDash weekend for Uncle Colin. All right. We'll see you tomorrow in L.A. It's the Herd.